Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection right here on K1, the one you trust. I'm Tom Davis, and we have a couple of guests in here with us. First of all, we have Blair Ellis, who is in here with us from the Bartlesville Public Schools Foundation. Good morning, Blair.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see bright, shiny faces in here. We got a few things that are going quite well with our schools and also with the foundation. It's been a busy year, and I understand, Blair, it's about to get busy.
It has been a busy year. We were really grateful to get to participate in the PPE initiative, trying to raise funds from our community over the summer to get our district off to a good start with enough PPE to get our staff and students in school and keep them in school safely during this mm-hmm. time. And then we just gave out, and I know Garrett Giles did a great piece for us a couple weeks ago on our over $23,000 in grants that we gave out to teachers, which it's one of our primary initiatives that's been around since the foundation started in the 80s. But at least since I've been involved in the foundation, I think this is one of the largest kind of cumulative distributions that we've had. And our grants committee funded all kinds of things covering music and art, STEM. We had elementary reading in there, and special education was supported. So it really kind of across the district support. And being that this is a weird year, I don't know what to expect. Our teachers are kind of overwhelmed, understandably, just trying to get our students and themselves through school safely. So we weren't sure what kind of grants we were going to receive. But again, our committee was super impressed by the innovative ideas and the creativity that our teachers exemplified, kind of trying to engage their students, particularly during this odd year. So they funded things like drones, e-books, subscriptions for elementary school students, some virtual training sessions. They really kind of thought outside the box in terms of what to do to bring in support for their kids.
That is absolutely amazing. And now we're kicking off into a different phase, right?
That's right. So now we're starting to work on our annual campaign. We've sent out those mailers. And of course, that support is the support that allows us to award these grants to teachers every year. And we rely on our annual campaign as well as our events. But this year, obviously, events are going to look differently, which means that our annual campaign is even more crucial than ever. So we, if any of your listeners are interested in supporting the work that we do advancing quality education in our Bartlesville Public Schools, please consider contributing to that annual fund. They can mail a check to the foundation mm-hmm. at the Education Service Center on Jennings, or go to our website, bpsfoundation.org, to make a donation.
Well, that's great. And of course, if you didn't get the letter, hey, just give a call.
Right.
And you'll be right there to, because I know if I have $100 just itching to go someplace good, that's a great place for it too.
The public schools are a pretty great place to do it, and they've done a great job with the funds that we give them. So.
Indeed. Blair, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what's going on?
That's it. I guess Chuck's going to talk about the pandemic, but I would just reiterate just from a parent perspective how great they're doing and how proud we are to be a part of that and all the hard work that they're doing.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Blair. Thank you for being with us here today. I'm Tom Davis, and yes, you are watching Community Connection, and we're going to be switching over here to Chuck McCauley, who is with us here today. And Superintendent, first of all, interesting that we had the school board meeting just the other day, and we saw some numbers put together by Granger Metter that indicate that compared to our neighbors, we're doing pretty good as far as attendance and kids in person.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. Let me just kind of jump right into it, and I want to follow up on Blair's comments. Just, we're so thankful and appreciative for the Public School Foundation. We would not have been able to start school in person without their support, our strong community support, so that we were prepared with PPE to get our kids in school. So where we are, you know, obviously this is the week before Thanksgiving break. Next week, our schools are already closed. We're on vacation for the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
And I've received multiple, contacts throughout the community regarding what's going to happen after Thanksgiving. I'm sure some of that has been driven by some of our state colleges that are not going to be meeting in person after the break. And so here's where we are. We're in person. And I should also mention, many of the Tulsa area schools, their high schools, they've shifted to distance learning. Mm-hmm. Most of them plan to return after Thanksgiving. And so I think as those news reports come out, people see that on Facebook, or even our area schools, you know, that Dewey's doing something similar mm-hmm. From a couple of weeks ago. And what about us? Well, where we are and what Granger shared, and we have data to support where we are, is all signs are that we're going to be in school in person this week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Thanksgiving break next week is coming at a great time. That's going to allow us to for folks to clear out the number of quarantines and isolations that we have. All indicators are we'll be right back in person the week after Thanksgiving break, that week of November 30th through December 4th. You know, indicators are cases are rising. We are seeing that numbers are growing in our schools. They're still manageable. Most likely what we'll need to do is just evaluate things that week at the end of that week, you know, and then we'll need to make a decision on that because that gets us to 2 weeks until Christmas break. You know, after Thanksgiving break, we have 3 weeks until Christmas break, which Christmas break, we're out for 2 weeks. So, and what we anticipate at this point, obviously, number one, we want to keep the district in school in person. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. If we did need to make a shift, and the most likely reason if we needed to make a shift to some distance learning, that would need to be because of staffing. This would be what my thoughts are at this point. One, we would look at the shifting the high school first to distance learning. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in other areas, the rationale for doing that. And we would do that, for example, like the last week or two before Christmas break, if necessary. And here's the reason why we would do the high school only. One, our students and staff are most prepared to continue in distance learning. That they're ready for that. You know, we just talked about OU and OSU are shifting to that. Not in person after Thanksgiving break. Two, in terms of child care, obviously a high school kid being at home is much different than a first grader being at home. Oh, and yeah. So, and also the data supports that younger kids are less susceptible, as we know that as well too. But so that daycare is a huge issue. I know that's primarily what I hear from concerning is, you know, our parents that have kids at home trying to figure out their daycare. So we'd want to keep them in school. And then third, from a staffing component, if our high school is in distance learning, that would enable us for substitutes that would normally be assigned to the high school. We can deploy them to our middle school and elementary schools. We also have staff members at the high school. I'm talking about, like, for example, teacher assistants, that their job is to work with kids in person at the high school. If they're in distance learning, we would shift all of those positions to the middle school and elementary to making sure that we are properly staffed our elementary schools to ensure our teachers have their planning periods, which is so crucial during this time because they have kids on quarantine at home and they're under a great deal of stress on being prepared. And it's imperative that they do have that planning time. So that would be our thought, would be our goal. Now obviously that can change. There may be some things at certain sites, but most likely, hopefully, we plan to stay in person. If we didn't make a shift, we would start. Our first objective would be the high school, and that would be the reasons why we would do that, so that we could keep our elementary and middle schools open.
Now we've had a few of these at-home days that are scheduled.
Sure.
With remote learning. I understand that moving after the Christmas break, we have at least two of those.
Yeah, thank you. We've scheduled those once a month here these last few months, mm-hmm. On the first Friday of the month. Matter of fact, our next one is scheduled for that Friday, December 4th, mm-hmm. And that's a distance learning day, which counts as an instructional day. And you know, those are really imperative for our teachers. That gives them some additional planning time. Mm-hmm. Not only do they interact with their kids virtually, but they're able to plan during these times. We went ahead and our plan was to wait to see when we'd schedule them for January and February. We've done that now. Mm-hmm. The dates are a little different because of how the calendar falls. So in January, that first day, and it's on our calendar, all this information is on our website, is scheduled for that Friday, January, I believe that's the 15th, which backs up to that following Monday is Martin Luther King Day. So that Friday the 15th would be a distance learning day. That following Monday, which is Martin Luther King Day, school is not in session. That's not a distance learning day. But our teachers have a professional development day for them. That would enable our teachers to have that planning time, but also for our students and staff that are on quarantines and isolations, that's a little bit longer break where they could help with that process, those 4 day weeks. And then similar in February, we're out of school for President's Day. Mm-hmm. So that Friday before President's Day, that's also going to be a distance learning day. So we have that information on our website. It's on our calendar. People can start planning for that. But we went ahead and scheduled that on the calendar so people could start making plans for those days.
Very good. We've got this nicely planned, and here's just hoping no curveballs come our way. But it seems like we've been able to hit the curveballs out of the ballpark, comparatively speaking. Now, a lot of the numbers get crunched, and I know that there are a lot of criteria. Some people have wondered, you know, well, we see these numbers go up in the county, but that's not the only metric that the school district is examining when making these decisions, I understand.
You know, Tom, that was the only data that we had when we started school. Obviously, we weren't in school. And so fortunately, I'm so thankful that our numbers were safe for us to start school in person when school started. Now, obviously, once school started, we have additional data. We can start tracking, okay, how many positive cases are in schools? How many people are on quarantines in schools? What is our student attendance rate? What is our staff attendance rate? What's our substitute attendance rate? Not only our substitute attendance rate, but how many teachers are having to cover class on their planning period? All that data is a mixture into us having school. And so now that we've been able to track that, for example, right now, we have seen an increase in numbers. I think right now, with our number of cases, and by the way, everyone can look at our information. It is live on our website.
Very transparent.
It is updated every 5 minutes. So everyone can see, and it shows you how many cases we have by student and staff at every school. Mm-hmm. They can also see how many students are in quarantine and staff at every school and also for the district. So we share that all the time. Mm-hmm. Our current percentage of students and staff that have positive cases, 0.2%.
Ooh, wow, that's low.
But that is an increase. We were at 0.1% mm-hmm. Before. Our number of quarantines has increased. As a matter of fact, the last time I was in here, our high was around 2%. Well, now our percentage of increase is up to around just under 8% district wide. Mm-hmm. So you can see those numbers are increasing, which we are seeing that in our city, mm-hmm. In our community, and our county. We are seeing those numbers increase. However, we are able to manage our classrooms. We are not, we are able for teachers to get their planning periods. We are tracking that to making sure that's happening. We're not having to combine classes to make sure, but we are able to keep that safe. For example, in previous years, we might have a situation at an elementary school where if a third grade teacher is out, we may split those kids up into other third grade classes. We don't do that now. We're able to continue to staff appropriately. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that could change if we had a number of staff members that need to stay home. And if we do so, we are prepared to shift. We are prepared on the distance learning side. However, right now, we are able to safely have school. We're able to safely staff school. And all indicators are we'll continue that, like I said, for this week. We'll continue to monitor things. Obviously, if we get through this week, we'll be starting back after Thanksgiving week, back in person mm-hmm. in school, and just continue to monitor things for those last 2 weeks before Christmas break.
You know, you got to hand it to your staffers, too. They've been staying very, very healthy and playing it safe. I've noticed that in some of the data that's been made public, the reason that some schools are going to remote learning is because there aren't enough staff to take care of the classroom or even to bus the kids around because they're getting sick.
Absolutely. That's really the number one indicator for us if we needed to shift to distance learning. We're tracking all the metrics we're tracking, but that's absolutely the key. And there's so many people to thank. I talked about the foundation, but, you know, on the administrative team, you know, Granger Metter and Carrie Eichelberry. Carrie's our lead, kind of the contact tracing. Those folks are wonderful. Granger is brilliant. And so he's really the one that has had this metric now that can be shared transparently. That's frankly all over the state of Oklahoma, and he's the one that developed that. He's the one that shared that. And so you look at other districts and see their data looks similar shared. That's because Granger developed that, just so you know. Our contact tracers, so thankful for them. We have 30 employees in the district that have been trained or certified through Johns Hopkins mm-hmm. to do contact tracing. And I want to clarify that. These are not mm-hmm. folks that we hired that all they do is contact tracing. These are employees that already have a job that took on the responsibility to go through this training. And when a case comes up, we have these folks at every site. They go through the contact tracing. We report it to the health department. We enter that data live. And so we just continue to work through that. So thankful for our contact tracers. And, you know, those are hard conversations. You know, when you're dealing with someone, you know, we had some terror. I mean, it's tough if a student has to miss a football game or a big competition or not be in school. You know, that's hard for kids to handle.
And
parents, hard for them to take. So it's a challenge. Also, our teachers, obviously, we've already bragged about them and how hard it is for them. But so it's the additional work that puts on them because they have their kids in person, in addition to kids that are home quarantining and managing both worlds, which is very challenging. But also our support staff. Those are folks that really are the glue that keep our school together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, think about our bus drivers, our child nutrition department. Wow. Technology, our teacher assistants, our secretaries. you know, all the folks that it takes for us to have school safely, and they're doing it. So, you know, folks are wondering what they can do. You know, Blair talked about kind of on the financial piece, you know, monies to the foundation. We can directly get some resources to help our schools. But you know what? Just thanking our staff, just being nice and think, because you know what? I had a news station come up and interview me yesterday. Said, how in the world are you in person when all these schools in the area are not? And so we just it takes our whole community and all of our staff. So, you know, send them a note to thank them for their hard work. You know, we've been in school since August 13th. Matter of fact, right now, today, I'm fairly certain we're the only large school in Oklahoma that has in-person school. So, and that didn't magically happen.
No.
So that takes a lot of work from a lot of different people. So, you know, this is Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful for our staff. If people are looking to help us, obviously they can come sign up to substitute as well. It takes a little bit of time to process them. You know, we've got some college students that are going to be home for a long break. That's a great opportunity for them to come get signed up. Maybe they can come help substitute during that time. Also, we're always looking for bus drivers to help us, so they can come up and help us. We'd love to have their assistance, but really just encourage them to reach out and send a note. It's meaningful to thank our people, thank our staff for making this happen, because it's been a Herculean effort to make this happen for our kids. But everyone knows it's the best thing for our community. Our community counts on us to continue to move forward, and we're just so thankful.
Superintendent McCauley, thanks for being with us here today, and thanks for getting the word out. And also, you know, some recognition to the folks who largely sometimes just go unthanked and unrecognized, because by golly, if it wasn't for them, you know, our kids wouldn't have it so good. And really appreciate it. Blair, thank you for being with us as well from the foundation. We've got more